Welcome. Today we're speaking with Glenn Neely, who is internationally regarded as an Elliott Wave innovator and creator of NeoWave. Welcome, Glenn.
Hi, Patrice. How's it going?
Good. Today we're going to talk about the three different types of market activity and give us sort of a grounding and background of where we are in the market and possibly a little bit of advice about what to do with the market. So last time we talked a bit about predictability and unpredictability, and I'm wondering if you could refresh our memories regarding that.
On the previous chart, which can be found on the website, we talked about the three phases of market predictability, going from specific predictability, which occurs toward the beginning or end of any large to even medium-sized wave pattern. As you move away from the very first to last wave of a pattern, you generally go into a period where you can generally predict what's going to happen, but not specifically predict. So you can say the trend is up or it's down, but you're not going to know exactly how it's going to go up or down. And then in the middle of a formation, especially in the middle of a consolidation, that's when you reach the unpredictable phase where you may not be able to say whether the market's going up or down or how it's going to go up or down or what it's going to do next, and it could be extremely random and, you know, very dangerous to trade. So that's the overview of what we talked about last time, and then this time we're going to be talking about how that connects to the different phases of market activity.
And so right now it's my understanding that we're in a highly unpredictable phase in a 20-year correction.
That's right. We're in the dead center, or just passing now the dead center of a 20-year consolidation. You know, back in 2000, when I first talked about a market going into a 20-year correction, people just thought I was out of my mind. Now it's already been 10 years, and we clearly are nowhere near finished with this bear market, and no end in sight with the problems and international turmoil and financial banking turmoil that's been going on and should continue for a long time.
So then look, we've talked about that we're in a highly unpredictable phase, but there are actually three different phases of market activity. So go ahead, if you would, and give us a quick review of the three phases of market activity.
Okay, well, these three phases of market activity directly correlate to the specific, general, and unpredictable phases of markets. The top and bottom phase of a market is obviously when a market's actually making its highest high or its lowest low. It generally tends to be a brief period. It's typically associated with hyperactivity or panics, lots of media coverage. The high in February 2000 or the low in March 2009 would be examples of these, you know, extreme public participation, high media interest events. If you're at the end of an expanding environment, picking a market top or a market bottom can be very difficult but extremely profitable if you're right, and it could produce lots of return on capital very quickly. But it is one of the most dangerous trading activities, and it can produce repetitive losses over and over. Someone thinks the market's topping, and they keep trying to pick a top, and they keep turning out they're wrong, and they keep losing over and over and over. So it's a very dangerous activity because tops and bottoms are very rare, but yet most people trade as if they happen all the time. And so obviously they're doing the exact opposite of reality.
So in this bottoming and topping phase, you can, quote, strike it rich, but you're probably going to be misguessing. There's a lot of risk there because of the guesswork involved and
right.
The possibility of guessing wrong and guessing wrong in a big way.
Right. Well, what defines a top or bottom is that it's pretty major and it lasts for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't have a major top or bottom every few days or every few weeks, otherwise it doesn't qualify. So most people trade as if they do happen a lot more often than they actually do, and that's why they end up losing so much money attempting to pick tops and bottoms.
And this correlates to the predictable, unpredictable by being a very specific time frame?
This would definitely correlate to the very specific phase of predictability under wave theory, because wave theory is best at predicting market tops and bottoms. So this would be right at the point where wave theory is the most useful. But unfortunately, due to human nature, it's the point where most people are the least likely to believe what wave theory is going to tell them or what a wave analyst might tell them, because everyone else is doing just the opposite. Like the high in 2000, everyone thought the internet was going to allow the market to go up forever. I mean, it was a period of never-ending prosperity at that time, and at least that was the belief system. So the belief system is contrary to what wave structure will tell you right at the termination of a trend. And so it makes it very difficult for you to act alone against, you know, the huge crowd and media roar going on in the background or in the foreground telling you to do exactly the opposite, such as buying near the highs in 2000 instead of selling, which is what I was telling people to do at the high in 2000.
Okay, so the three different phases of market activity we just talked about, bottoming and topping, what is the next phase?
The accumulation and distribution phase would relate to the more general predictability phase of a market. And this is when you're, well, let's say for accumulation, is after the low, the market may bounce off of a low and goes through a back and forth period of consolidation as powerful traders accumulate positions preparing for a market advance. And it's at that same time that the public thinks that the worst has not finished and the market's still in a downtrend. So the powerful, wealthy traders are accumulating positions while the general inexperienced public trader is still selling into the market's declines, thinking that it's going to go a lot lower. So that's an accumulation phase where a lot of positions are being hoarded by a few very wealthy people in contrast to the public taking the opposite side of that trade.
And then the third phase of market activity?
Well, once you've gone through a period of accumulation and distribution and you have everyone sort of set in their position, you know, they either have gotten long or they've gotten short and now everyone's just sort of waiting for something to happen, then the market starts to trend. And that's when you've had, you know, all the buying or selling that's going to happen. And then there's very little volume-wise, there's very little order flow that takes place between one area of consolidation and the next, and the market tends to zoom through the sort of low order concentration zone. So you have, let's say, the market's bottomed, and it's gone through a period of accumulation. During that accumulation phase, virtually all the positions that can be bought have been purchased, and there's virtually nothing left to purchase. So if there's any demand that comes from the public at that point to start buying, there's nothing to buy, so it starts to mark up the price very quickly because there's no supply. So you have a lot of demand all of a sudden with no supply because the supply is being held by the wealthy who have accumulated positions during the accumulation phase. So once the public starts to realize the trend really is up and they want some stock or whatever it is, the market will start moving up very quickly because there's high demand and very limited supply. And so it starts marking up the price, and that creates this quick uptrend or quick downtrend that takes place after the accumulation or distribution phase.
Okay.
The trending phase lasts the shortest period of time, by the way, and is generally the hardest to catch for most people because they're uncomfortable getting in way after a market top or after a market bottom.
And that generally correlates with which area of the predictable and unpredictable chart?
Well, from a wave theory standpoint, the trending phase would be the least predictable because it's way after the market top or way after the market bottom, which means you have a limited amount of completed wave structure to work with. So there's a lot of variableness to the market structure. So it makes it impossible to know exactly what's going to happen. So the trending phase is the least predictable under wave theory, and it's the phase where you're generally going to make the most money the fastest, but you're the least likely to know it's happening, because at least from a wave theory standpoint, because that doesn't allow you to accurately predict trends very well. You're only looking mostly at trying to pick the top or the bottom.
So it'd be a great time to have that crystal ball, know exactly what the market's doing.
Well, you need to have other types of techniques to deal with these middle phases or trending phases of markets that wave theory doesn't deal well with.
Well, good. Well, that helps us move to the next point, because I wanted to ask about what type of market analysis is best for each phase. We have the bottoming and topping phase, accumulation or distribution phase, and trending up or down. So
right.
The types of market analysis best for each phase.
Okay, well, top and bottom, like I mentioned earlier, is best with NEO wave or LA wave. That's by far the most useful, and it pretty much trumps all other types of technologies or techniques, market analysis. At extremes, wave theory is by far the best. I pay virtually no attention to anything else at a market top or bottom except wave structure. And it usually tells me to say things and do things that are so contrary to the majority and contrary to what you're hearing in the news and reading in the papers that it's difficult for the average person to emotionally do what they should be doing at those points. But wave theory makes it very clear exactly what you should be doing. And that's, of course, when you're selling into new highs or market highs and you're buying into lows. And that is what a lot of people like to do, and I think the vast majority of inexperienced traders do, but it also happens to be the phase of a market that lasts the least or the shortest period of time, because you can only top or bottom once.
Right, right. Okay, and then so the accumulation and distribution phase, the type of a market analysis best for that phase?
Okay, well, that obviously happens after the top or the bottom, and the market goes into this sort of choppy period above the low or below the highs. Wave theory can still be useful, but its usefulness starts to decline at that point. Oversold and overbought market indicators will tend to be more useful during this period, allowing you to maybe get in or out at each market oscillation. Generally, though, you'd be looking to buy on pullbacks. So let's say the market's bottomed at, you know, 900 in the gold market and it's rallied to 1,000 and it'll pull back to 950. That would be getting in on a market pullback, trying to prepare for the next advance. So you're waiting for the sell-offs to create an oversold condition after the low to buy in, and then as it gets overbought on a rally, you look to get out. And so these overbought and oversold indicators can work well during the accumulation or distribution phase after the market tops or after the market bottoms, but before it starts to trend really well.
Okay. And then our final phase, trending up or down.
This is when wave theory will be the least useful. So this is the unpredictable phase of markets that was mentioned in the previous interview. This is when you're going to find it most useful to do what most people are very nervous and afraid to do, which is buying into market strength. So you're buying into new highs. Are you selling into market weakness, which means selling into new lows? This phase happens very infrequently. Strong market trends aren't that common, especially ones where you can just buy into any new high or sell into any new low. But when they do happen, they can yield tremendous returns in very short periods of time, far outweighing the results you might get in any other phase of a market.
Okay, well, that was helpful. So we've talked about the three phases of market activity and the type of market analysis best for each phase. Glenn, can you talk about which phase we're in right now and specific trading strategies that would be useful in that phase?
Okay, well, as I mentioned in our previous interview, on a grand scale and from a wave theory perspective, we're in the pretty much dead center, right past the dead center of this 20-year correction, so we're in the most unpredictable phase of market action. But fortunately, I can tell based on way price action is going and my ability to predict that we probably have just passed the middle, so the predictability of the markets will start to get better and better over the next few years, where it was probably the worst of almost my entire career in the last, say, 12 months. The phase of market action, which we're going through right now, is almost for sure a phase of distribution. We've rallied off of a major low. The market's preparing for a top within this larger bear market, which started at the high in 2008. And so we're in this distribution phase. We haven't quite finished it, but the focus should be on trying to sell into strength as the market is finalizing this top over the next possible few weeks to few months, and then getting ready for the acceleration phase downward, which means we'll be moving into a trending market to the downside sometime in the next few months. I can't say yet exactly when because the market's too unpredictable right now to say, but it should get clearer and clearer as the current pattern gets closer to an end, which I think will be between a few weeks to a few months.
So we're in the distribution phase right now, knowing that within a few weeks or a few months we'll be trending down.
Yes,
so
accelerating down.
Lovely.
Yeah.
One more roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
And so what kind of trading strategies should we be embracing right now?
Well, this is a period where, you know, overbought and oversold indicators would work the best. And in this case, since the market should be preparing for a top and eventually trending downward because we're in distribution, the best focus or the best way to focus on this would be looking for overbought signals to sell into those overbought conditions with stops above the market preparing for another sell-off and potentially until wave structure is clear, getting out of the short positions when the market's oversold. So only looking to short on an overbought condition, get out on an oversold condition, and doing that over and over until wave structure becomes really clear in the next few weeks to a couple of months. And when it gets really clear, then most likely the downtrend will start to accelerate because we would have finished a pattern. We would start the next new downtrend, and that's where we'll go into a trending phase, which should produce the quickest return and the biggest potential profits with the lowest risk over a short period of time.
So at this point right now in the distribution phase of the market activity, I should be focusing on protecting capital,
right,
and not making any big risky moves.
No, absolutely. This should be a definite lower risk environment where you're, any trades you do take would maybe be half the amount of capital at risk than you might normally take when wave structure is clear and when risk is very defined. This is a highly risky environment, so you definitely want to be focused more on capital preservation. If you're going to trade, risk a lot less than normal. You know, some people, I typically risk 1% of capital per trade. So in this environment, it might be 0.5%. And when things are really good and really clear, I might risk 1.5% to 2%. So right now, I'd say it's about 0.5% or 50% of the normal risk you would take. And your focus should be more on trading less, trying to just keep what you have, and only getting in when things look really good and you can control risk really well and you're not going to risk too much in case you're wrong.
So I'm also hearing then fewer trades, really, really,
yes,
very selective.
Exactly. Selective is very important in this environment. I guess you could make an analogy here to a weather analogy. If you're in an environment where there's the possibility of a hurricane or a tornado, tornadoes might be a better example, you don't know exactly where a tornado is going to touch down. You don't know which building it's going to hit. You don't know exactly what's going to happen to your life. Your primary focus is preservation of, you know, self and life and property, and not getting too anxious and running outside to see how the tornado looks.
Like my dad used to do, sit on the roof with the binoculars. Not a smart move.
So you have to be very risk averse and extremely cautious about the risks you're taking. Capital preservation is the primary focus, and then taking very careful, cautious trades when they do occur.
Excellent. Good point. Well, an overarching question I have then is that we have the three different phases of market activity. We understand that there are different kinds of analysis for each phase, and then, of course, from there, trading strategies for each phase. But how do we know which phase we're in?
That's something I've been working on developing now for about 10 years, and it's a term many of my customers have heard me say, but most of them don't really know what it is. It's what I call Neely River technology, and it's the antithesis of wave theory. I realized back at the high in 2000 that knowing we were getting ready to start a 20-year consolidation or corrective market environment, I knew that meant, unfortunately, that wave theory would be less and less useful over the next 10 to 20 years as we move toward the center of that 20-year consolidation. So I realized that my ability to forecast markets would continuously decline overall or on average for about 10 years until we got to the center, which is where we are now. And knowing that, I realized if I was going to survive as a trader and as a trading service, that I have to figure out a way to deal with markets when they're unpredictable, and how am I going to trade and manage trades even if I don't know what's going to happen. So Neely River technology is a way of entering markets, managing trades, moving stops, and exiting positions which do not require any perspective on what the market is supposed to do into the future. It's more of a concept. If you're in a river and you're in a boat, you don't need to know where the ocean is to get to the ocean. Your primary focus is to make sure you don't hit rocks and you don't run into a sandbar until you get to the ocean, because the river is going to take you there eventually, right?
So very specific focus on the trading moment,
right,
where we are in the moment now to best understand the situation versus forecast where we may be in the future.
Exactly. It's about how to manage what you're doing right now. What should you be doing right now in the river to avoid the rocks, avoid the sandbars, avoid, you know, waterfalls? You're trying to make sure you just stay in your boat until you get to the ocean. So Neely River technology is about how to manage trades and just wait to see where the market takes you.
Very exciting, very mouthwatering. And we'll be talking about Neely River technology in our next conversation, I take it?
Exactly. And this will be the first time I ever reveal to the public exactly what Neely River technology is all about.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time today, Glenn.
Okay, thanks a lot.